I'm Gene Pasale, and this is Living History. This show explores the rich heritage of the Brandywine Valley outside Philadelphia, focusing on the people, places, and events over more than 300 years, which have played an important part in our American heritage. Each show highlights a local town, event, or personality who's had a notable influence on our culture. And before we get started, I want to mention that our call-in line, if you have questions or comments, is 610-701-9243. That's 610-701-9243. This day in history, September 28th. On this day in 1781, the Battle of Yorktown begins with American forces under General George Washington surrounding British General Cornwallis in what would be the decisive Patriot victory of the Revolutionary War. Washington's troops included the Marquis de Lafayette and Alexander Hamilton, who stormed the redoubts surrounding British forces, leading to their surrender. In 1918, a Liberty Loan parade in Philadelphia leads to an outbreak of influenza, the disease spreading rapidly around the country and the world, causing 30 million deaths in one of the worst global epidemics in modern history. The outbreak eventually led to increased research and development of vaccines to help prevent the flu from causing such catastrophic damage in the following decades. And on this day in 1941, Ted Williams of the Boston Red Sox plays against the Philadelphia Athletics and gets 6 hits in his 8 trips to the plate, earning a .406 batting average for the season, the last time anyone would accomplish the same feat. Called the Splendid Splinter for his lanky frame, he had a superb career, achieving the Triple Crown twice for having highest batting average, the most RBIs and home runs, made the All-Star team 17 times, amassed 2,654 hits and 521 home runs. He played his final game exactly 19 years later to the day, hitting a home run in his final at-bat, and was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1966. The Chester County region southwest of Philadelphia has a long heritage of great artists, including the 19th century landscape painters depicting the lovely countryside, talented illustrators like Howard Pyle and N.C. Wyeth after the turn of the 20th century portraying historic events for numerous books and magazines, and Wyeth's descendants, Andrew and Jamie, who each made their mark on the art world with superb paintings of rustic scenes. The sleepy village of Chad's Ford has attracted artists for decades, with new generations of talent capturing the variances of light and shadow, color and texture along the Brandywine and nearby areas. Randall Graham is one of those artists. Randall's work is highly eclectic, with a wide variety of topics, highlighting local landscapes, still lifes, and portraits. He has held numerous shows in the Philadelphia region, and recently opened a new studio in Malvern, Pennsylvania. Randall also teaches art classes, and takes on a variety of projects that utilize his many talents. He's here to talk with us today. Randall, welcome to the show.
Hi, Gene. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Randall, tell us a little bit about your background. Where did you grow up? Where are you from?
Well, I've been in Chester County all my life. I was born in Malvern. Went to Great Valley High School, I actually went to St. Patrick's Elementary School in Malvern, and then moved out to Westchester, where I live with my wife and kids now. And like you mentioned, now I've opened a new studio back in Malvern, so it's kind of been full circle.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been painting professionally, and when did you first get interested in painting, just to begin with?
Well, professionally, technically my first job that I got paid for painting something was around 20 years ago. I was 18 and I got commissioned to paint a mural on the side of a retail store in Malvern named The Picket Fence.
Mm.
It was the first mural in Malvern, and now there's like a mural movement going in Malvern, which is really energizing the town, so it's pretty cool.
That's
led by a woman named Kristen Thomas, and it's called the Malvern Community Arts Project.
Mm-hmm.
And then full circle again, that's the same building's where I opened my new teaching studio, where I painted the mural, and the mm-hmm. new building's called Gallery 222. Okay. It houses a gallery and artist studios and a beautiful garden for events.
Oh, for our listeners, what's the street address there if they want to stop in and say hello?
222 East King Street in Malvern.
Oh,
right.
Excellent.
On the main strip.
Excellent. And tell us a little bit about that mural. What's the scene depicting?
Well, the store was called A Picket Fence, so it did have a little picket fence going along the side of the building, and then I had some flowers and vines and stuff going within the picket fence. So it was more of a decorative mural, but it was a pretty scene for the nice decor shop. So I was totally excited to do it when I was 18. It was mm-hmm. great.
Oh, excellent. What artists have influenced you over the years? What are some of your favorites, including, you know, if you'd like, some of the local ones?
Oh, well, Andrew Wyeth, for a start, is definitely one of my favorites. He, you know, influences me a lot. There's also Bo Bartlett I enjoy a lot. He was a local guy for a bit. Now he lives down in Georgia mm-hmm. in his hometown. I love Jamie Wyeth and N.C. Wyeth.
Mm-hmm.
Other local guys, John Redman's great. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, many, many painters influenced me for sure.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any favorite periods in art, like the Impressionists or any modern art, what have you?
As far as periods go, I wouldn't say that, but it's more of a type of painter. I like people that tell stories, so it leans more towards illustrators.
Mm-hmm.
Some less mainstream storytellers I enjoy a lot are Victor Grasso in mm-hmm. New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
Randall Exon, I believe he teaches at Swarthmore,
mm-hmm.
Bo Bartlett again, and my mm-hmm. mentor, Neil Carlin, mm-hmm. out of Kennett Square. Neil's just a masterful storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always think of, he's Neil Carlin, I always think it's a good coincidence that his initials are NC
mm-hmm.
as well, you know, but
mm-hmm.
he's great.
Mm-hmm.
I love painters that can really capture light as well, so Hopper, John Redmond again,
mm-hmm.
Hammershoy.
Mm-hmm.
I really always try and strive for real good light in my paintings. I just
mm-hmm.
feel like it really relates to the viewer.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned great storytellers and maybe historic themes. Obviously, N.C. Wyeth and Howard Pyle did quite a bit of work in that area. What do you think of capturing historic images or events?
I'm definitely interested in history as well. My father was a middle school history teacher in the Methacton School District, so history was always part of our lives growing up. You know, as kids, my siblings and me, we always wanted to go to Disney World or Great Adventure, but we got dragged to Gettysburg or something.
Mm-hmm.
But now in hindsight, I'm so thankful for it. So
mm-hmm.
Chester County being full of old buildings and mills, and you can kind of feel the old spirits haunting around and,
mm-hmm.
you know, influencing your painting, and you know, I'm just always aware of what history was in certain places, so it's always affected me.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever met any of the famous local artists like Andrew Wyeth or Jamie, any of the others?
Certainly just in passing. I have met Jamie. I was lucky enough to paint on his property for an event called Plain Air Brandywine, where we got to go out there and paint his beautiful property, and I got there real early, but he was out there walking his dogs, and he spoke for a little bit to me, and
mm-hmm.
and just said, hey, I'm off to paint too, you know, which is kind of like magical.
Oh,
I never met
great.
Andrew. I met Helga, you know, she was at one of my exhibitions at the Sanderson Museum, and
mm-hmm.
she gave me a little critique, which went well. She liked my stuff, which I was scared about because I
mm-hmm.
heard she could be a little harsh, and she spent all that time with Andrew, you know, watching him paint, hearing his thoughts, so that was real special to me.
Mm-hmm. For our listeners around the country, Andrew Wyeth, perhaps the best-known artist in the Chatsford area outside of Philadelphia, but he did a series of paintings paintings of Helga, who was a young girl or younger girl at the time, and they became very famous over the years. They weren't released at first, but then they were later brought to public attention and kind of caused a bit of a stir, since they were mostly nudes. And now Helga is still around. She wanders the Chester County area, stopping in at various sites and exhibits, etc. I've actually personally met her. So the Helga portraits are well known in this area. Tell us about how you go about depicting a landscape. It must be very interesting how you approach it.
Yeah, I mean, certainly you always look for something that attracts you overall, whether it's an old historic building or a tree line or the light. Then I usually start by planning out the composition. You know, do I want a path leading the viewer into the scene, or do I want to use the trees to block in the viewer from their eye wandering off the frame? So making sure I have a focal point and a composition that works with all that. Mm-hmm. And then using my values and colors and accuracy to, you know, keep the viewer involved and engaged. You know, I really enjoy realism and representationalism, and I feel like that closeness to real life with pigment, with paint, is what attracts a lot of people to spend some time enjoying your painting.
Mm-hmm. You know, Andrew Wyeth's favorite local artist was a guy named Ree Redifer. I don't know if you know who Ree Redifer is.
It does sound familiar.
Yes. He lived in the Kennett Square area where I live, and he also depicted a lot of historic themes, Battle of the Brandywine, etc., but he was an excellent mostly watercolors, some oils,
okay,
and just a great local artist. I happen to focus a bit more on history, as you could probably guess.
Sure.
But I enjoy historic scenes. One thing I'm actually not as familiar with is portraits. I know you do some portrait-type paintings. Tell us a little bit about that. I know it's quite different from the landscape, and then we'll take a break for our
commercial. Yeah, sure. Well, portraits, I mean, of course, it's a human being in front of you. You know, I always like to do them from life. Similar thing, you're thinking about composition and value and getting your colors correct, but I always like to have the model thinking about something. Maybe you're having a conversation. Maybe you are sitting in a historical building and you're talking about the past or their lives involving the area. And naturally, humans just kind of settle into an expression. It may be happiness or maybe it's despair, but you're trying to capture that emotion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, with pigments, the paint, it's a tricky thing to do, but you are trying to reach within yourself and connect to the model and then bring in the third-party viewer to express, you know, a special emotion.
Mm-hmm. I imagine that's kind of difficult. To me, it would be easier to paint a landscape than a portrait, simply because, again, in my thinking, it's hard to really capture the essence of a person, which is very, in a way, animated, but the landscape is right in front of you just sitting there, and it's maybe a bit easier to capture. We're actually going to have to take a real quick commercial break.
Great.
But we'll be right back with Randall Graham, Chester County artist, on Living History.
Do you have a wedding, graduation, baptism, confirmation, milestone, or birthday to plan? You need John Surratt Catering, one of the most highly rated and preferred caterers throughout the Philadelphia area. They will be there to create and cater your event while assisting as much or as little as you desire. Planning a decadent, over-the-top company gala? Need help transforming your backyard into the party of the year? Want to wow your clients with a delicious luncheon? Then you need John Surratt Catering. All you have to do is call, and they'll handle the rest. Located at 835 Lincoln Avenue in Westchester, visit them at SurrockCatering.com or call 610-640-2836. That's 610-640-2836.
If you had to choose a roofer, would you choose one with limited experience and knowledge, or would you choose a roofer certified as a master elite contractor by the largest manufacturer in the nation, GAF, a distinction shared by only 3% of the nation's roofers? I'm talking about GP Martini Roofing, who also does siding, windows, doors, and offers an ironclad guarantee that he'll repair or replace any roof for defects within its normal life. GP Martini Services, Chester, Delaware, Bucks, and Montgomery counties with free estimates and consultation, and does both commercial and residential. Go to their website at martiniroofing.com for special savings, or call 610-873-1696. And also, financing is available with no payments for a full year. Now, what roofer would you call? GP Martini is the answer, 610-873-1696.
If it's happening in Chester County, you'll hear about it here. WCAG 1520 AM, the talk of Chester County.
Gene Pasale, and this is Living History. Today we're talking with Chester County artist Randall Graham about his many projects and depictions of local landscapes and events. Randall, I'm just curious, and I haven't asked too many artists this question, do you often visit museums for ideas? I mean, some of the greatest museums in America are not too far away, the Met in New York, Philadelphia Museum of Art. Do you get out there just to see what's out there and see maybe see other ideas to pursue?
Well, sure. I'm always looking. Well, with three kids and painting and teaching in the studio, I don't end up with tons of time, but certainly my favorite is the Brandywine River Museum right in Chester County. As we've already talked about, I really love the Wyeth and the Brandywine history and Pyle. Especially when I'm real busy, I love to go to, or I'm feeling too busy, I like to go to the museum. I am a member there, so I probably go 8 times a year or so. Just to look for inspiration, and you know, even if especially there, if I'm got time, I'll go walk the trail on the Brandywine and look at real life and what the artist was thinking, and mix that all together. As far as galleries around here, I love Somerville Manning in Greenville. They just have such a great list of artists. They have Bo Bartlett, Jamie Wyeth, Robert Jackson, John Redmond, Timothy Barr, Vicky Vinton is an abstract. They're always a good show to go to. Of course, I love the new hottest gallery, Gallery 222 in Malvern. So that's where my studio is. So there's a great show up there. Delaware Valley Art League is great to look at. But I certainly also enjoy going down to the city and the Philadelphia Museum of Art.
Great museum. Wonderful museum.
Yeah, it's just one of the best. And I love the paintings and sculpture and all that, but also the architecture and just the space overall. Always gives a sense of calm to me and makes you think. So I'm a big fan of museums.
Where do you get ideas? I mean, do they kind of come to you at random, or do you try to focus on a specific theme and then pursue it?
I wouldn't say it's a theme for me. I mean, my styles and subjects definitely jump around a little bit more than the art marketing gurus would tell you. So, I mean, I have my raindrop paintings. Sometimes I'll do a floral. Sometimes I'll go landscape. So a lot of it's just what's speaking to me at the moment. But I'll always start with a sketch and just let the idea brew for a little bit. And then if it feels like it's a good composition, a good idea, I'll try and bring it into the studio and attack it more with, you know, finalized composition and values and all that good stuff.
Now, we earlier mentioned N.C. Wyeth and Andrew Wyeth. What do you think have been some of their most important contributions? I mean, just to the art world or just painting in general? What do you think they've brought to the medium?
Oh, well, N.C., I mean, was just such a masterful storyteller. And as painters all know and idolize him, it just, when he used composition so masterfully and color and value, he really started it all. Even though Pyle taught NC, NC really took it to another level of being able to tell a story with minimal strokes and all about the light and shadow of the painting. And that teaching has continued down through illustrators throughout the years. So it's just very important. Andrew is more emotional. You know, that's something everybody's striving for. He really simplifies the composition. He does a great job of having a real bold image, and then all his intricate texture with the egg tempera allows the viewer to spend extra time in that painting and have little surprises, mm-hmm. even if they've been viewing the painting over an hour or mm-hmm. multiple times. There's always a little something new for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, for our listeners who don't know a lot about local art history, Andrew Wyeth became quite famous after his painting Christina's World, which was actually at the Smithsonian for a while, which depicts a relatively young woman who is partially paralyzed crawling up a hillside through the weeds, and it's become world renowned. But one thing that many people don't know about him is that his brother-in-law Peter Hurd apparently taught him the egg tempera method, or at least gave him some insights. And Peter Hurd was an artist in his own right, and painted a lot of southwestern scenes. He's featured along with worked from the entire Wyeth family at a place called the Sanderson Museum in Chad's Ford. So, you know, Peter Hurd taught Andrew Wyeth the egg tempera method, and who became real famous? Andrew Wyeth. but Peter Hurd is well known in the Southwest, but certainly Andrew Wyeth and the entire Wyeth family in this area. Tell us about your current projects. What's going on right now?
Well, I got a lot going on. I'm still kind of wrapping up some rain paintings and florals for my solo show at Gallery 222 in October. That opens October 13th. I also have some works in the Dalesford Abbey Art Show, which is October 7th. That's a real prestigious group show at the Dalesford Abbey in Dalesford. Mm-hmm. Lots of great artists there. Mm-hmm. And then looking a little deeper into October, I'm in a great event called the Plein Air Brandywine Valley, which the show culminates at Winterthur Museum. I believe we paint outdoors on location in these beautiful historic DuPont estates and mm-hmm. just great Chester County views. I believe we start painting on the 17th, but the show mm-hmm. will be up October 21st.
Oh, excellent.
Whole weekend at Winterthur. Mm-hmm. And that's just a wonderful thing. That benefits Children's Beach House down in Lewis, Delaware. So mm-hmm. it's always a favorite event of mine, and it happens during the peak fall, leaf season up here in Chester County. So
good time to capture the colors.
Yeah.
For our listeners who don't know the term, plein air literally means painting outside in the open. And a lot of artists, of course, over the centuries have done that. Painting out in the elements can be quite challenging. In fact, the Chad's Ford Historical Society every year features a plein air paint out where they gather dozens of artists, Randall's been one of them, to paint the beautiful rustic countryside. And sometimes it's in the dead of winter, which can be a challenge, especially if it's cold and windy or even snowing.
But
the artists are out there along the landscape painting various rustic scenes of the Chester County area, and they do an excellent job, and Randall has been one of them. For full disclosure, I do own one or two of Randall's paintings. He's an excellent artist, and quite frankly, he's quite talented. Tell us a little bit about your art classes. What do you hope to portray in your classes? How do you get people motivated to paint and become good artists?
Well, my art classes at the Gallery 222 and my studio are really based on the fundamentals of oil painting. So I really believe in taking students from the basic fundamentals step by step of learning values, understanding how light or dark things are, how the light affects everything. And the classes are very small. They're four people each class, but I do have some openings. We just started out. People start with simple black and white control, and then we work into color still lifes and exciting things, some self-portraits just to terrorize all my students. but yeah, it's a wonderful way of learning. I just highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. Just really keeping things under control and teaching everybody from step one to mastery.
Yeah, I've taken a few art classes over the years, and quite frankly, they've been a lot of fun. I did a few watercolors, which I thought, well, perhaps I'll frame them, and in fact, I did. And
nice.
I was glad I did, because I know that if I didn't frame them, they'd end up in a drawer somewhere, and I'd never see them again. But quite frankly, they're really enjoyable.
And you'll have to show me those watercolors.
Yeah. yeah. I have a couple of them. But, you know, I encourage anyone who feels artistically inclined but who's never really pursued it in a class, think about taking a class with Randall. I think you'll probably learn quite a bit. Tell us a little bit about your website. I know you've got a variety of different things on your website. What, and is it randallgraham.org?
Randallgraham.com? .com, yes. Randallgraham.com. Of course, you can find me on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. On my website, I just have various examples of my work, my CV, my bio, description of my painting classes and studio practices. And I still do teach some plein air classes through Chester County Art Association, which is a wonderful place. So it has a list of those classes as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, the website, if you see it, if you visit the website, people can take a look at individual paintings offered for sale, is that correct?
I don't have direct sale on my website, but they can certainly look at everything that's coming out new and take a look and reach out to me if they have any inquiries.
Mm-hmm. What is your favorite type of a theme to portray? I mean, I know artists tend to focus on certain themes during different periods of their career. At this point in your career, you've been doing this for over 20 years now. What do you like to do the most? What's your favorites? Landscapes, portraits? What do you like the best?
I really like my rain portrait landscape. So it still is a landscape, but if viewers don't know, I sit in my minivan, my family minivan, while it's raining, and I look out the windshield, and I let the raindrops and the rain coming down the windshield abstract the view that I'm looking at.
Mm.
So even though I'm a realist at heart, I really like to play with creating the abstract vision with these raindrops. So I've been really into that lately.
I have seen a couple of your raindrop paintings. They're fascinating, and in fact, a theme that I would never have even thought of, you know, an artist depicting. By the way, when you mentioned the abstract, I think I read a quote by Andrew Wyeth several years back. It said, and this is him speaking, I am a realist with abstract ideas, in so many words, which is an interesting way of capturing it, because, you know, Andrew Wyeth was very big in the, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, and he did a lot of very realistic landscapes when art was moving in a very, shall we say, non-realistic direction. I mean, modern art has gotten very esoteric, and a lot of people say, well, he doesn't really have much abstract in there, but he said he has abstract ideas. What, could you talk a little bit about that just for a few moments?
Sure. I mean, I'll mix in a little bit of my naive history knowledge with yours, but I believe Andrew was always basing his composition on abstract shapes. So maybe, for example, he'd be looking at Kerner Hill, and he might feel like that reminds him of a Jackson Pollock, and he would spend, that's why he would spend so much time on the grass and weeds, and he just would let himself be very free and pull abstract shapes. And I think he would start abstract and then work its way back towards realism, but in his head, he was just having fun with these strokes of paint.
Mm-hmm. And Jackson Pollock, of course, one of the most abstract of abstract modern artists.
Sure.
Very famous, and you know, he certainly made an impact in the art world. Some people say it's kind of took him off in a strange direction, but it nonetheless had a big impact. Randall, you know, you've done a lot of work. Your classes are great. Your output is very nice. Quite frankly, it's quite interesting, and you've shared a lot with us about depicting the local landscapes. Thanks so much for joining us today for the show. And be sure to tune in next Wednesday, October 5th, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, when we'll be speaking with Alan Burke of the Westchester Preservation Awards. Thank you all for tuning in today to Living History.